So the first reading is Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8, which is page 1249 in your Bibles. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully, dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." And the second reading is Daniel 7, verses 7 to 11, and that's page 892. After that, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the other former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was as white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire.
Can I just read a bit more of Daniel? The bit I thought I was going to talk about. I'm just going to read 13 and 14 as well. It goes on from what Sarah has read. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you so much for those testimonies that you are with us in the small things and in the big things. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the hope of your second coming, for that glorious image in Revelation and in Daniel of your power, your sovereignty, your goodness. And so now, Father, as we think about what it is to live today in the here and now with you, in the light of that promise. Please be with us. Please use my words. Please speak to each one of us as you see fit for your power, your glory, and your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right, let's hold this. I think it'll be easier. Okay. So at this time of year, I'm married to a Scotsman. And so at this time of the year, I start to think about our journey to Scotland. And it's a long journey. And I know it's twists and turns really well. And I mostly really, really dread it. But we know that when we get there, we know it's going to be absolutely amazing because we've got family and friends there and we have Scottish type of celebration and it's great. And it keeps us going, that thought of what it's going to be like when we're stuck inevitably on the M6, powerless to make the journey pass any more quickly and the road ahead of us seeming never ending. So we're thinking this morning about the part of Advent that we're often really tempted to overlook, Jesus' second coming. And we're not far from Christmas now, and our celebrations of Jesus' first coming have begun. And as hard as it is for Joy and others who absolutely love Christmas, what is to come with Jesus' second coming is going to be even more wondrous than our celebrations of his first coming. Advent is about preparing ourselves, not for turkey and presents, but to say, come, Lord Jesus, come in your power, come again soon, and reign over us in glory and completeness. And in our Daniel reading, the bit that Sarah read and the bit that I read, we've got such a beautiful image of all people worshipping God, one like a son of man, given authority, glory, and sovereign power over all people, over all nations, men and women of every language, worshipping him. It's such an amazing prophecy. It's written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came to be. It's a prophecy of a rule like none other, a reign for eternity, a kingdom that will never pass away. And in the Revelation reading as well, it's so glorious of that future. I'll just read verse 3 again. It says, now the dwelling of God is with men and women, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or pain or crying, for the old order of things has passed away. It's such a beautiful image of God with us, Emmanuel. It's a word we hear a lot. We have it on Christmas cards. It's the tagline for our Christmas celebrations at Greyfriars and New Hope and for the church nationally this year. Emmanuel. It's a Hebrew word. This is your bit where you get to show off, where I get to show off. So Imma is with, nu is us, and El is the Hebrew word for God. So it's Immanuel, God with us. And it's a word describing the unity between God and us with no separation. And all that God represents, love and life and joy and peace and goodness, all of that is thrown in as well. And that's why there can be no death, no mourning, no crying or pain in heaven, because they are the absolute opposite of everything that God is, his life-giving being. And this God with us theme is one that runs through the whole of the Bible. It starts in the Garden of Eden, where we see in Genesis that really close an unhindered relationship between God and humans. And then it ends in Revelation, as we've heard, with God dwelling again with his people, living with them in their midst. But you say, okay, Sarah, I get that. But what about the bit in between? You know, the bit now, the bit we're all going through, the crying and the pain, the bit with cancer and the bit with loss and the bit with injustice and the bit with exploitation and the bit with famine and war. What about that bit? Well, that bit is the bit that Christmas is all about. God come down in the form of a helpless child into the dirt and mess of our world. God come to be literally with us and share that suffering, to experience the evil acts of powerful men, the religious, the supposedly God-fearing leaders who condemned the one whose gentle hands had healed the blind, the lame, had fed the hungry, the one who welcomed all people, the outcasts included. Jesus was the one who showed us what it is to live a life with God. He was named, as we heard, Emmanuel, God with us, not only because he was God with us, because he showed us what God with us looks like in human form. Yet this one, this Jesus who was God with us, faced God not with us on the cross. You know, that moment we think about at Easter when Jesus cries in absolute agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? And all the evil and all the hate and all the decay and the darkness of this world falls on him. And he is not with God anymore. He's separated from God the Father as he dies, so that we need never, ever be separated again from God. Now, there has been some talk this year on social media, as always, about how St. Nicholas or Santa has taken Jesus' place at the heart of Christmas. Santa, that is, or maybe, Simon, Grumpy Cat. Yay! Father Christmas. Now, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love Father Christmas. But Father Christmas, he's not into the kind of with us bit. He's much more into the for us bit. He flies in just for a few minutes, delivers us the gifts that we've been wanting at the foot of the bed or under the Christmas tree, and then he leaves. Have we got another picture of him leaving? Oh, no, he's there. He's just like parked temporarily on the roof. He's not into the being with us. Thank you, Simon. Hope this is what you want. This is what you said you want. This is your present. And I'm off to the north. I'm off first to another house, and then I'm off to the North Pole, the furthest place away possible. Which, have you ever thought why Father Christmas lives in the North Pole? It's so far away. I jest. I love Father Christmas. I've just stayed awake for too many years trying to meet him in person. But you know what? That is some people's view of God. The distant giver of occasional gifts, if we're good. Yet because of Christmas and all that Christmas represents, it's totally the wrong view of God. 1 John 4 verse 13 says this: we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. As Christians filled with the Holy Spirit, we can be confident that God is with us every day, every moment of the year, in the really small things, in the big things, in the hard things, in the painful things, in our relationships when they're good and when they're broken, in the hopelessness that we see around us. God is with us. God is with all who seek him. And that means he's with us now, in this now and not yet bit, the bit in between Jesus' first coming and his second coming, the bit we can't really always figure out in our minds. For we know, don't we? We know that Jesus has defeated death. We know that he has defeated the evil one whose purpose is destruction. And yet we look around and he doesn't look like he's defeated. Victory seems to be far from won. But that's when we have our task as God's people in the time we have left before Christ comes again. You know, filled with the Holy Spirit, we are God's agents in the world. We are those who stand up against injustice with God's power. We are those who love the ones who are unloved with God's power. We are those who feed the hungry and the malnourished with God's power. We are those who care for God's creation with God's power, for in him all things are possible. And he will come again. He will. At Advent we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. But I always hesitate, because there are so many that who don't know him yet. There's J down the road. There's M a few doors down. Will that picture in Daniel of all those people of every language and tongue worshipping him include them? We read in 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. There is, guys, an urgency in our sharing of God's love for all people, for there is a choice that people need to make. Last year at Greyfriars, we held an Alpha course, and it was a really small course. And among the few attendees that came was a man who had many troubles. But he came and he found the Lord. And not long afterwards, he died. He was only in his 40s. And I thank God every day that we ran that course, that that man came to know the one who loved him to his core, and that even in the midst of the sadness of his life, God was with him. The hope of Christmas is that God is with us in all that we face, with his power and his grace in abundance. At Christmas, we celebrate this. And we know that in all that we face, the hard and painful things of life, God is with us in his power. And he has given each one of us his spirit and his armour to face each day that he gives us on this earth. And it will end one day soon. And there will be the glorious promise of a time of no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things will have passed away. Come, Lord Jesus, to you be the glory, now and always. Amen.